With me on the Disc Information Newsline is an associate professor of psychiatry at the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh. Kim Blair is with us. Kim, nice to have you on the program with us here on KDKA. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Sonny. Nice to be with you.
Nice to have you here. Happy holidays to you. I thought this is would be a good time, and I'm glad that you made yourself available because this is a time of the year where a lot of joy, but there's also a lot of sadness, and there's a lot of sadness in the world, abuse and shootings and murders and terrible things, and it affects all of us, but I think it especially affects kids, and you deal with kids who are suffering from situations like that. Is that correct?
That is. I oversee a group of programs at UPMC Western Psychiatric Hospital that work with young kids. Most of our kids are infants through 8 years old or so who have experienced some significant trauma. We have a behavioral health programs that are day treatment for infants and preschoolers. Preschoolers with significant behavioral disorders, emotional problems, and infants and toddlers who are have a history of prenatal drug exposure, a parent with a mental illness, those kinds of issues. We also have school-based programs that we partner with the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation to implement in 4 different schools in the area. And we also have mobile therapy, where we send out therapists to homes and schools to work with kids individually in their natural environment.
Kids have always been affected by violence, but never has it been studied as much and as helpfully as it is now, and with what you do and what your department does. Do you find that there are, I guess it's because the media is so prevalent, you talk about infants to, you know, 8-year-old kids who are so connected. You know, we may say the kids don't know this is going on. We're seeing violence and shootings and things like that on television, or there is abuse within the house. They may be sent to their rooms, but they're still affected by this, even though they may not see it firsthand, right?
That's right. And what we found, too, is that many families and kids don't realize that what they're experiencing is traumatic to a lot of families.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things become normalized, and it's not really attended to as much as it probably should be. The Matilda Tice programs that I've been working with since 2005 have always worked with kids who have histories of community violence, of abuse. We do a lot of work with kids in the child welfare system. But in 2012, I sort of felt like we needed to step it up a bit in terms of the kinds of services that we were providing for kids who have these significant traumas. And so we applied to a federal agency called the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration to get a large grant that allows us to join what's called the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. And it's basically a group of agencies across the country whose primary mission is to get really effective treatments to as many kids as possible who have these kind of histories.
What do you do for them? I mean, is it like a therapy session, or are there games played? How do you find what's troubling them and work to alleviate the problem if you can?
Well, the kids that we work with, or that I work with, are younger. There again, the oldest is like 8, 9 years old. So a lot of what we do is play-based. And it can happen in a variety of different settings. Like I said, we have day treatment programs that run 5 days a week. We have programs where we go into the homes, but we also have kids who come with their parents or their caregivers into our clinic once a week. And across all those programs, we have 2 primary sort of philosophies of how to work with kids. Mm-hmm. Is that with younger kids, you have to focus on the relationships with their adult caregivers. When a kid experiences something traumatic, that may impact the attachments they have, the quality of the relationships that they have with those adults that take care of them, because something has happened to them and they weren't feeling protected. So part of our goal is to rebuild rebuild the trust between the parent and child. And then we also, knowing that we work with young kids, know that play and sort of normalizing those conversations as much as possible is the best way to go. So we use a lot of toys and materials that allow us to encourage the kids to play out the things that have gone on in their lives. They can draw. We have doll sets. We have hospital sets. We'll have even, you know, police cars and little dolls that go with that. So they're able to play out those things that have happened to them in the past. And that sort of starts that communication with the therapist and with the adult. Sometimes the adults are the ones who are more reluctant than the kids are.
Sure.
To sort of dig into that trauma. But what we found is that the more you talk about it and expose it, the less scary it becomes and the easier it is to start moving beyond what happened.
It's interesting what you're saying in terms of the treatment, because the kids, some people may say, well, they're too young to really express what's really going on. But as you say, they do communicate and express through play. And as you were talking about with artwork or with cars or dolls, they really know how to represent that. And it seems like many times, quite truthfully, from what I've seen with kids, in terms of telling you without actually telling you, but if as you are and the people you work with, trained professionals, you put those things together and can really get the story that's needed to help them be well again.
Right. And, you know, the therapist's job is really to interpret a lot of that play for the parents, to point out how they're expressing themselves and to help the parents sort of engage in that conversations with the child directly so they can have those conversations on their own in the future and sort of deal with issues as they come up over time. And I think your point is well taken, that a lot of people sort of underestimate what young kids can communicate, but also how these things affect them. There's been a lot of more recent research that shows even infants and toddlers who have been exposed to some significant neglect or abuse, their brains are changed by what happens to them. And so while they may not be able to recite to you really specific, you know, events that happen with detail, they may react to things and be sort of unaware of why they're reacting. That's where kids may react to certain situations or want to avoid certain environments that remind them of what happened. Even things like smells and sounds may impact them later, even though they don't have like a conscious memory of what happened to them, say, when they were 6 months old.
That's fascinating. Can you hold on for a second, Kim? I'd like to continue this conversation and talk about some of those things where young kids, where people may say, well, he or she is too young, they won't remember that. And yet, as you say, sometimes we go through life and something happens and you think you remember something, and that goes back to some of the things that happened in childhood. I'd love to talk about that with you if you can hang with us through a couple of commercials here.
Sure, absolutely.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Kim Blair is with us, and we will continue our conversation right after